What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Living Loud podcast. My name is Shanae. I'm your host on this fine wintry night. We will be featuring a sound of my furnace as per usual. It is a forced air furnace, so we can't make it be quiet. This is going to be making some noise, and of course, always featuring Hades, my puppy, who will probably be snoring in the background and possibly even, if you're lucky, making some little yips as he chases a squirrel in his dreams. So, that being said, let's get into it. Today's episode is about Pluto. And the reason that I wrote this article was because Pluto and Mercury were conjoining. And so while that is not a long-lasting transit, Pluto trine the North Node is a long transit. This is going to be happening for, well, the normally when you use the nodes, you don't use an orb, but Pluto and the node will be from the 6th until the 16th of February will be in exact conjunction where, trine where it is at the same degree of 27, but they will be within 2 degrees for the entire month, rest of the month, through about the first week of March. So that is pretty tight. I think that it's relevant. Of course, you know, my opinion is just my opinion, but that is pretty tight. So this is relevant for a long while, and more so, the content of this essay is a lot more focused on the return of the return of Pluto in the United States chart, and there will be some, you know, disclaimers coming, so bear with me until we get there. And Uranus also is in Taurus, and even though they won't be exact forever, that is a big deal. Big deal. Even just by sign, that's a big deal. And also the return of Pluto will be going for some time. Let me check what that is real quick for you. Looks like November of 2024 is the first time that it goes into Aquarius, but it will be retrograde back into, oh, nope, that's not right. Please hold. Okay. So the first time it will go into Aquarius is January of 2024, and then in September it will retrograde back into Capricorn, and then after that in November it will go forward into Aquarius, I believe, for the last time. So what this all means is that between now and, I mean, honestly, for a little while now, it's quite clear that we've been established, as I talk about this, it will very clearly establish that we've been going through this process for quite some time. To be honest, even since 2008, when Pluto had entered into Capricorn, which is the sign that it was in when our country was established. So it arguably started getting more intense around March of 2016. That is when Pluto started reaching the 17 degree mark. Usually for conjunctions, you use a larger orb than you would for others. Don't get hung up on all these little jargony details. I'm mostly just trying to give you kind of a concept of like how long we've really been working through this, because it is a big darn deal. In 2008, you know, we're going to talk about some of the different things that have happened since the planet Pluto has entered into Capricorn in the essay, but things have started getting more and more and more intense since 2016, based on an astrological perspective, and I think most people would agree also, too, in real life, right? In our lives, it does seem like, gosh, it just keeps getting more and more intense. And I mean, of course, everybody experiences life in different ways, see different things on a day-to-day basis, experience different sides of even just the internet. The algorithms target us and put us into echo chambers. So, you know, I don't know if this time period to you was something important, but for our country, it was when everything started to become a little more intense. So let's get into the essay. It's a long one. Buckle up. We're going to talk about a lot of different things in here. There's going to be some disclaimers. Let me get into those. Before we do get into this, go grab something to drink. Go grab something to eat. It's a long one. Put this on and just relax, because there's going to be some content in here that is a little bit frustrating and disappointing. That's kind of the nature of Pluto. Some of it's going to be some very intense topics. So, you know, just want to mentally and emotionally prepare you for that. This is not like a woo woo cheerleader kind of post. This is very serious stuff. So here we go. Buckle up for a conversation surrounding American history and the upcoming Pluto return. If you're not someone who's interested in American-centric conversations, I get that, but I do live in the States and this is a really big deal around here, so if this post is not for you, I will see you on the flip side. But if you're interested in a conversation around what it means to be financially active and valued in America over the years of history and what could be coming, stick around, because this post is going to take us all the way back 414 years ago to 1607. In colonial Jamestown, Virginia. But before we get into the history too much, let's discuss the context for this conversation astrologically. If you're new to astrology or have little or no knowledge of it, don't worry. I try to keep everything very grounded and actionable. Sometimes things get a little floaty-boaty, but that is not that common. The astrological houses that are in question right now are the workhouses. The United States is mostly agreed to be a Sagittarius rising chart, and this places Capricorn in the second house of finances and earned income. We have never really discussed this before, so I'm going to take this opportunity to elaborate a tiny bit on the workhouses for mundane astrology or non-personal world event-based astrology. This one is for the United States. When we're discussing Pluto in the chart, we're really discussing Pluto in the Earth signs. For the USA Sibley chart, this represents the second house of finances, wealth, and property. The sixth house represents health and daily work of an individual, normally, and likewise represents the health and workforce's attitude towards work. And the tenth house of reputation represents the reputation of a country or the leaders at the top, such as the president. That being said, it's no secret the dark history of what being wealthy meant in America during colonial times. This post has to talk about slavery, but I won't be dwelling on it or discussing racism in this post more than necessary to describe the events of a time period. I don't feel like it's my place or the objective of this post to discuss systemic racism, racism generally, or any other identity issues that are relevant in modern times of which I have no personal experience with. Know that my thoughts and opinions on the current climate of racism in America is not related to anything that's written here, and the objective of this post is not to make any statements about the current state of affairs. The Pluto return for the U.S. is associated with the financial markets and wealth. Remember what we learned about about the American Revolution in middle school? No taxation without representation. And the Boston Tea Party? Our secession from England was related to a few things, such as religious freedom. Sagittarius rules freedom. I'm sorry. Well, it sort of does. Sagittarius rules religion, which is the rising sign of the Sibley chart, and our inability to levy and collect our own taxes. At the time, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto were unknown to the founding fathers. Well, Uranus was either just discovered or would be soon after discovered, but nonetheless, they were unknown to the founding fathers, so they wouldn't have been able to plan for Pluto being in the second house, unfortunately. Pluto has a tendency to bring things to the extreme, and this helps explain why America has got a thing for wealth gaps. As a sidebar, this part's not included in the essay, but I really think that if they would have been able to plan for that, they might have waited if possible, just because, you know, America was, there's a lot of stuff in there about, like, the pursuit of happiness and liberty and justice for all, and I don't know that building in extreme wealth gaps would have been part of their, you know, ultimate plan. But Pluto takes a really long time. There's other stuff in the chart that was really helpful, like where Saturn goes, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. Anyways, this was illustrated most recently in the years since 2008's housing bubble when Pluto re-entered the sign of Capricorn. And since the conjunction of Pluto, Jupiter, and Saturn in Capricorn in 2020, which represents expansion, extreme focused power, and control. Since the pandemic started, there has been an unprecedented wealth transfer, and it only goes up the ladder these days, it seems. It started its return then by house and by sign in 2008, and since then we've been seeing nothing but increases of the largest wealth gap since we seceded from the crown. In a minute, we're going to go over the timeline of Pluto and the Earth signs because there is a correlation between what has happened in past times and what is happening now. While things aren't ever identical because of the differing combination of planets and signs, there are repetitions in the themes that you'll see. Before we get into that, I'm going to just give a short list of the placements of the signs so that you're aware of some of the ideals built into the chart of the United States. The rising sign is Sagittarius, freedom to roam, travel, expansion, abundance, and the pursuit of happiness. The sun is in Cancer. This represents homeland security. The moon is in Aquarius, which represents the people, freedom from tyranny, individuality, brotherhood, all for one and one for all, and science and reason. Saturn at this time was in Libra, and it was in the seventh house even. This is important for structures centered around justice and harmony, liberty and justice for all. At this time, Uranus was in Gemini, and of course they didn't know this, but Uranus in Gemini is typically associated with big transformations in our country. Most of our impactful wars have this signature, including the Civil War and the Revolutionary War. And I should look this up, but I believe maybe the World War as well, because that should be coming up around 80 years. World War II, I believe, one or two. Anyway, so that's a common signature for war. The most transformational wars in our country. Pluto was also in Capricorn, as we've been saying. A transformation, an unveiling of the true control of powers and hierarchy, or a destruction of the current hierarchy to transform. The North Node at the time was in Leo, and this was leading towards generosity, showmanship, strength from within, unique and self-aware individuals led by their hearts on a path toward unity. If the United States was a person, they would be very fun to be around, not overly emotional, but very security-driven. They would want people to think that they were always the life of the party and that they had very few cares in the world, but in all actuality, they care very deeply about everything. It's difficult for them to separate themselves from emotional security, and they would have a hard time trusting others. They would feel the need to take things into their own hands. If you want something done right, you usually have to do it yourself. So let's discuss the timeline as Pluto transited the Earth signs. In 1607, Jamestown, Virginia was founded. This took place during the time that Pluto was transiting Taurus. Shortly thereafter, in 1619, the first American slaves landed in the colonies. Time went on and Pluto transited between Taurus and Virgo. When it arrived in Virgo around the 1710s to 1725, there wasn't much easily available online about this time period, and it was mostly lumped into a large swath of time just called, quote, colonialism that lasted from the 1600s until the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776. But some places like Pennsylvania were attempting to ban slavery during this time around 1712 to 1714, but this was mostly unsuccessful thanks to the crown, mostly in the name of commerce, but also because, duh, she didn't want the idea of emancipation getting around. Near the end of this time frame, the first slave ships were arriving in the newly founded New Orleans, and 75,000 American slaves were living in the colonies, 90% of them owned by the wealthiest 10%. Does this sound familiar? All you have to do is replace the word slaves with wealth. As time went on, Pluto transited the remainder of the signs between Virgo and Capricorn and entered Cap in 1763. Right before this year, there was a war between England and France called the Seven Years' War, and it was very costly. Until then, the crown mostly let the colonies be, and the colonies enjoyed this arrangement very much. They paid very little in trade for their federal benefits. After the crown tried to levy taxes on the colonies to try and make up the deficit caused by the war, the colonists eventually sought independence and revolted. Essentially, Pluto entered a new sign, and house for Old England, and a new sign and house for the new colonies, and this signified an incompatible and irreparable divide between the two would-be nations. After the Revolutionary War, the Declaration was signed in 1776 by the Founding Fathers, and, quote, the rest is history. Until Pluto entered Taurus for the second time in its history. This time was between 1852 and 1884. And if you're from the U.S., you know what happened during this time, the Civil War, which led to the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery was officially outlawed in the United States on January 1st, 1863. We're going to talk more about Taurus later when we discuss the North Nodes, because our current Pluto in Capricorn is making kissy faces to it right now. And truthfully, that's actually the point of this essay, but we're going to move on to the next Earth sign that Pluto visited in our historical tour. Pluto reached the next Earth sign, Virgo, again in 1956 until 1972. This is only 3 years before entering the Civil Rights Movement, which this is a very small time frame for a planet that transits the length of a zodiac sign from anywhere between 14 and 30 years. And since the Civil Rights Movement was just starting in the United States, it was really starting to gain traction at the time that Pluto had entered into Virgo. A few dates that, quote, the internet gives for the time frame called the Civil Rights Movement era is 1953 to 1968 or 74. Those born during this time were born into what would create, born into and would create the, they were born into and would create and participate, that's a tongue twister, in the hippie movements of the 1960s and 70s, which valued nonviolence and love. That was the last time that Pluto entered an Earth sign until 2008, when it entered into Capricorn. Since then, we've clearly been experiencing a refocusing on race specifically, but now, in addition, other identities. This list is obviously far from inclusive, but notable events associated to this is the election of Barack Obama, the establishment and rise of the BLM organization and movement, an increased tendency towards identity politics, media field division, corporate censorship, increased wage gaps, increased and ever-rising homelessness, rising inflation. The list goes on. I mean, you're living it. Likely you're aware of the majority of these happenings. Pluto in Taurus will not take place until 2098, so most of us that are listening won't have to worry too much about what's going on then. Of course, our children will. Pluto's return marks a revisiting of similar themes of the times. Themes representative of Pluto are revelation, manipulation, paranoia, suspicion, death, rebirth, transformation. This is all in a Capricorn style. Around power, corruption, corporations, politics and politicians, responsibility, capitalism, and leaders. If you've been on TikTok recently, there's been a recent vilification of what most are calling capitalism and late-stage capitalism for some time now, at least on my side of TikTok. Because we've already been dealing with these kinds of themes for some time now, like I said in the beginning. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into how what they're describing is a faux capitalist structure negatively impacted by legislation that allows the promotion of values that facilitate a condensation of competition, which reduces or completely removes elements of the free market's ability to self-regulate pricing and quality, but ignoring environmental and employee protections and using the same excuse for both. Since Pluto and Neptune are the slowest moving planets in our solar system, they spend a lot of time moving back and forth over the same places in a chart, really grinding the message in. Interestingly, when the fathers signed the declaration, Uranus wasn't making an aspect to Pluto. At that time, Uranus, the planet of freedom, innovation, revolution, rebellion, and ingenuity, was in Gemini, which doesn't connect to Capricorn. But this time, it's happening in a free-flowing type of energy dynamic called a trine. We have talked about trine energy in previous posts, not in previous podcasts. If you're interested, you can go onto the blog and go to the read section and find the article about Mars and Uranus, Mars trine Uranus. That could have some interesting information in it for you if you'd like to check it out. I'll also try to remember to include it in the links below. Trine energy is free-flowing, yes, but that does not mean that it's easy. When energy is free-flowing, it means that it will create outcomes easily, and those outcomes may or may not be advantageous to a person, situation, event, or country. Having Uranus connected so easily to Pluto means free-flowing instability, innovation, and ingenuity in regards to power, transformation, manipulation, and even corruption. I know that sounds a little intense and scary because I said the words power, corruption, instability, and manipulation. And while there will absolutely be aspects that are scary and intense, the house is an important component. Since the signs involved are Capricorn and Taurus, this free-flowing energy is between the financial markets and the workforce. If Uranus was currently in Virgo, which rules leaders and presidents of the, you know, and corporate fat cats of the U.S., this could be a very different outcome that we're headed toward. The instability, ingenuity, innovation, and the ruler of technology is in the house of the workforce. This doesn't mean that all of the money is going to flow to the workforce, but to me, it does mean that the energy is free-flowing between the financial markets and the workforce. Now let's discuss another component to this combination of energetics, the North Node. What does the North Node mean, and is there a South Node? Yes, the North Node leads us, it expands and grows out of the comfort zone. And the South Node decreases, it is restricted and is the status quo. Over the last 18 months, the nodes have been increasing Gemini concepts or giving power to Gemini concepts. Gemini concepts are a shallow education, not in a bad way, just not particularly deep. This is elementary education versus higher education, and so not particularly advanced, short distance travel, and the media. You'll notice that over the 18 months of the pandemic, those things were definitely supported more so than their opposites. No one was that interested in doing real research and getting super down and deep with the information. In fact, it was extremely difficult with media outlets repeating the same shallow information and censoring highly educated physicians or anyone who asked for deeper information. Long-term or foreign travel was canceled. Religious services were canceled. In November of 2021, we experienced the first taste of what would be the next version, Taurus and Scorpio energies. Taurus energy is more supported and Scorpio energy is restricted. This means that over the next 18 months, there will be shocking events, even more shocking with their relationship to Uranus, that surround Taurus themes, like the financial markets, our value systems, agriculture, food, real estate. So many things that I already know that you know are top of mind for the average person in the workforce. Scorpio tendencies will be minimized, not removed completely, but not supported in the same way. Guess what the Scorpio themes are? They're in line with the Pluto things. Things that will likely be decreased are fear, traumas, debts, and emotional rigidity. The North Node is going to bring us out of our comfort zone, and innovation and technology are going to rocket us ahead as the pilots of our own ship. It will likely be uncomfortable, as a North Node typically is, but hopefully you're seeing how these things will eventually connect to the Aquarian Age that we are slowly ushering in. The Aquarian Age will be a long term, like 2100 years, of innovation, freedom, grassroots-oriented foundations that are supporting the many versus the few on the top. The Aquarian Age is not a utopia, but when you're not at the top and you're a normal, average, everyday person, you're more supported. We're getting away from the empathy and compassion that can derail us into self-destruction to try and save one another, and moving toward being emotionally detached but caring about the whole in a way that is intellectually and logically oriented. With how extreme Pluto in Capricorn has been, I already know that this will be uncomfortable, but I'm here for it. Like I said, none of these transits or experiences will be utopia, as there's endless combinations and there are billions of people playing out billions of possibilities on their own timelines. I have no proof, but you can't stop me from believing that we create our own reality. And so I choose to be part of the reality where heart-centered individuals are the leaders, who stand up for individuality and show other individuals their place in a unified collective, separate from manufactured division caused by fear, greed, or identity politics. What about Mercury? Mercury represents intellect, news, communication, commuting, transportation, and so on and so forth. Mercury represents the ability to have discussions about this topic and all of the difficult but impactful topics that we've been told we can't talk about. It's about getting censored and trying again. It's about persistence. I recommend that you start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable right now. Mercury moves quickly, especially in our 21st century, where we can type, 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 send, and the message is there before we even put our phone down. This is an opportunity to discuss the changing scape that we're participating in. We have the ability to discuss things, debate them, and the intellect to integrate our new, well-rounded, and complex beliefs that are based on a debate that, yes, will have the potential to get heated because these topics are not light, they're not comfortable, and they're not easy. Nothing is easy when Pluto is involved, but because we know that they are productive. Pluto is the planet of extremes, and it helps us dig up the dirt, so to speak. So stand your truth. Be a vocal part of the revolution that is coming. A revolution is not a fun thing. It's not a neat thing to participate in. It's not about sitting behind your keyboard and typing out articles that take people 15 minutes to read, or even about novels that could become so specifically relevant that they get banned by corporate censorship. It's about uncovering and communicating and standing up and being willing to listen to the discourse and updating your stance and speaking some more and unstanding up and communicating and so on and so forth. We are far from ready to enter the age of Aquarius, but let's see what happened in the last Aquarian Pluto era, so that we can be prepared for the next, which will be from 2023 until 2024. Sorry. 2023 to 2044. Just so we know what we're up against. The previous dates for Pluto in Aquarius were 1777 to 1797, which included the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. This time period took place while Uranus was in Gemini. As we already covered earlier and remember as free-flowing energy, there was a lot of intellectualism going on around here. The Industrial Revolution is the 21st century. The Industrial Revolution of the 21st century will be called the Technological Revolution and has already begun. Traditional workers who are part of the old world are already starting to panic as their jobs get replaced by tech and AI. I'm not trying to infantilize their worries. It's a scary thing having to rejoin the workforce in a totally different field, especially if you're out of the median age group. But we are resilient. While I'm not a predicting astrologer yet, my wager is on something like this. A combination of predictions from my favorite astrologer, Lata Dunchiva from Astrolata, and from a concept called the Venus Project. You should watch a documentary on the Venus Project if you have never heard of it. The Plutonic Aquarian Era. The majority of jobs can be done via AI and robotics. Tech programs have gotten so good that tech can diagnose and repair itself. The workforce, completely unnecessary for daily tedium-oriented jobs any longer, have split into two factions. Uranus of tech will be in Gemini, a twin sign, too. One of them chooses to live their life through tech, something like the metaverse or how Ready Player One plays out. This group will intellectualize everything and find entertainment in learning and knowing a broad range of things and seeing the game of life play out inside a literal matrix. Perhaps they spend their time researching, having discussions, writing, or consuming content. Of course, they will be a varied group. The second will avoid getting too sucked into this technocratic advertiser's haven, and between now and 2026, when Uranus is in Taurus, will choose the more natural path, growing their own foods to avoid the homogenization of seed genetics, working together to create communities that work together, enjoying a sense-oriented life where they touch and taste and smell things, participating in the planet's natural gifts, not participating in the purely technological landscape. This group will also be varied. And of course, these groups will communicate together, and there will be those who straddle the world, sometimes preferring one over the other. No judgment calls to either of these two groups as they will inevitably cohabitate, but I'm an Earth sign with an addictive personality, so I'll need to stay out of the metaverse most of the time and in the grass. If you're interested in working with your natal chart, here are a few ways that we can accomplish that. One way is to schedule a free natal chart tour with me. These free calls are designed to empower you to start your investigation into your chart so you can see where Pluto is transforming your life, just as it is transforming the financial markets of the United States. In this 20-minute tour, you will be empowered to see exactly how a natal chart works so that you'll be able to start learning how to do it all on your own, and you'll also receive 30 minutes to ask questions that come up about investigating your chart. If you already know that you want to work with me, then take a second to see what is the best way that we can work together. All you got to do is go to the description box so that you can find the link that goes to my website where you can find out all the ways that you can work with me. I have different consultations. I also have the free natal chart tour. Of course, I also have my intensive 4-week program, Unearth Your Soulmate Self. And if that sounds like something that you're interested, go check out the description in the bottom. Go check out the description box at the bottom of this episode so that we can get working on that, because you are only 4 weeks away from seeing your life in a totally different, much more clear, priority-oriented way. And I love that for you. I cannot wait to do that for you. So if you have any questions, you know what to do. I can't wait to hear from you. I'll see you in the next one. Later, Gator.